We're up to Daf Gimel. We're in the bottom of Beis Amar Beis. They got to the three last lines. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya v'isema Rabbi Chia bar Abba Minatzpech. Minatzpech is Mem Nun Tzadi Pechaf. The five letters that are double, that they have a sof, and the letters Mem Sofi, whatever you call it exactly. But they have double letters. They change the form, as we know, when they appear at the end of the word. So the Tzofim means the visionaries, the people who had a sight, which referring to Nevi'im. So the Nevi'im, the Menatzvech, the Tzofim Amram, the Nevi'im were Mechadesh, these five letters. It sounds like from the Torah, these Menatzvech didn't exist, these letters. The Tzofim, the Nevi'im later on came and created these five letters. So the Gemara says, V'tizbara, does that really make sense? Haktiv, there's a pasuk that says, very important pasuk, Elu ha-mitzvos, these are the mitzvos, which implies, She'ein Navi Rashai Lechadesh Davar Mi'ata, that when the Torah was written, this was final, the Nevi'im were not able to add on any other mitzvos, any other halachas, any new things. So how could the Nevi'im add on these five letters? So the Gemara says, V'od, moreover, Ha'amar Rav Chisr of Chista says that the Mem and Samech, very propro for this week's Parsha, She'beluchos b'neis ha'yomdim. Right, we know that the Mem and the Samech, we have fancy Gemaras that my Masifta has, what a Mem and a Samech look like in the Luchos. We know the Luchos, they chiseled through, and it was seen from both sides. So if you have a Mem, and a Mem Sofir, and the Mem, whatever you call it, and a Samech, that means the center part of the stone was floating. Right, so it had to be floating. So the Chiddush was that there was B'nais Hayu Omnin, they were floating in a Chiddush. So if the Mem, that Mem Sofit, was only created by the Nevi'im, so then why are they saying that the Mem didn't exist by the time the Luchos was written? So it should only be that the Samech was really floating, but not the Mem. So it must be that the Mem Sofit even existed during the times of the Luchos, before the Nevi'im. So the Gemara says, in. They existed before the Nevi'im, before the Tzofim. Mehava havu, it existed, but lo hava yadu heba emse teva heba sof teva. They didn't know which of the Mem, which of the Tzadi was in the middle of the Teva, or the beginning, or the middle of the word, and which one appeared at the end. The Asu Tzofim came along Nevi'im, but takinu psuchin b'emsa, they said that we're going to make a decision that the open letters, the small chaf, the small tzadi, and so on, will be in the beginning or the middle of the word, b'emsa teva. When stumim, the closed ones, or at least the closed mem, b'sofa teva, will be at the end of the word. Gemara says, sof, eloha mitzos, shein navi, asir l'chadish davar me'atam. They're not allowed to change things, meaning before the Nevi'im came around, it was unclear, or maybe both were options. How can the Nevi'im come along and establish it's going to be this way? It may be different than the way it was in the Torah. So what the Gemara means to say is, Ela shachachum v'chazu v'yastam. They forgot it. It existed that the open mem was in the middle of the word. The closed mem was always at the end of the word. That was the way it was initially put together in the Torah. Then people forgot it, for whatever reason, how that works, they forgot it. And the Nevi'im came along and reestablished the way it was supposed to be. They weren't mechadish anything. They just put it back in the way the Torah wanted it to be. Okay, the Gideon Ashas here just points out that a few other places we have this Lashon of Shachachum Chazuv Yastam, where they forgot something and came along the later Nevi'im or later Chachamim and reestablished the way it was. He points to two Gemaras, a Gemara in Sukkah and a Gemara later on in Megillah. Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya v'isema Rabbi Chiya ba'aba Targum Shel Torah. The translation of Torah, Unkelus HaGer. Unkelus was a Ger. The Gemara's of the Zohar talk about the story of how he became a Ger. Fascinating story. So Unkelus HaGer, Amru, he was the one who was Mechadesh Targum. He wrote the Targum, that translation on the side of the Pesukim. Mipi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. He had a Mesorah, Kabbalah, from Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and he wrote down the Targum. And when it comes to the Targum Shel Nevi'im, the Targum that we find on the Nach, or Nevi'im rather, not Nach, but just Nevi'im, Yonasan ben Uziel Amru, Mipi Chagai Zechariah Malachi. He said them in the name of these three great Nevi'im. He wrote it down. And when he was Mechadesh, when he wrote down the Targum of Nevi'im, Nizdazeya Eretz Yisrael Arba Meos, Parsa Arba Meos Parsa. Eretz Yisrael began shaking. There was an earthquake that spread itself 400 Amos wide by 400 Amos. Yotze Baskol, a heavenly voice came out of Amr and said, "Mi hu ze shegila sisrei livnei Adam? Who is one who's revealing my secrets to the world by giving the targum? Adam livnei Adam. Amad Yonasan ben Uziel. He stood up. By the way, Yonasan ben Uziel, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, what a great Tana he was when he learned when a bird would go over his head, it would burn the birds above him. So this is Yonasan ben Uziel. He stood up V'amar, and he said, Ani hu shegilisi siterecha, siterecha levnei Adam, I'm the one who revealed the secrets of the Torah to people. Golav yadul fanecha, it's known, well known to you, Hashem, shelo lichvodi asisi, I didn't do it for this, my own honor. V'lo lichvod beis abba, not for my family name, ela lichvodcha, I'm doing this for your own honor, asisi, why? Shelo yarbu machlokes b'Yisrael, because they're very unclear psukim. Unclear how to read them, and there's going to be a lot of fights how to interpret the Nevi'im, so I wanted to be very, very clear in order to avoid machlokas and give up shot. So the old BK, after that, Akash Baruch Hu, I guess, took it easy, and he understood where he was coming from, and the earthquake stopped. After that, old BK, Shlegalis Targum Shaksuvim, then Yonatan ben Uzziah wanted to take it to the next step and reveal the Targum of the Ksuvim. Yotz Zabaskal, and heavenly voice came out, V'amra Lo, says to him, Dayacha, that's enough. Don't reveal the Targum of the Ksuvim. Why? My time. Mishum de'isbe keitz Mashiach. Because as Rashi tells us in Sefer Daniel, which is found in Ksuvim, it tells us in the Targum where exactly, or rather when exactly, Mashiach is going to come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to know when the keitz is going to happen. He wants us to always want it to happen, even if it's going to be 5,000 years from now. He wants us to always really have a cheshek for it, so he doesn't reveal it to us. So you're not allowed to give the Targum on Ksuvim. So Gemara now says, okay, after understanding this brisa, is it really true that Targum Shel Torah Unklus HaGer Amru? Unklus, who lived much later than when the Torah was given, he was the one who's mechadish the Targum. V'ho Amarav Ika Bar Avin, Amarav Chanana, Amarav, they have the following chiddush. My dechsev, what does the pasuk mean? The pasuk is found in Nehemiah. It says, Vaikru, they read at that time, they read from the Sefer Torah, B'Sefer Torah Selokim, they read from the Torah. Mefurash, they explained the Torah. V'shum Seichel, they gave an understanding of the Torah. V'yavinu, and it was understood, is understood. So what does this mean? What's the drush of the pasuk here? I think B'mikra, that's the final pasuk, B'mikra. So what are these extra languages of Torah, Mefurash, Shum Seichel, V'yavinu? So the Gemar Darshans, Rav Darshans. It says, Vayikru b'sefer Torah Selakim, that pasuk means that mikra. They read the Torah in public, they had a public reading. That refers to the mikra. Mefurash, they also explained it, zet targum. That refers to the targum onkelos. So that's the reason why we need the question. I'll just finish the brisa first. The shum seichel, and they gave an added understanding. That refers to elu ha-psukim. That means the psukim refers to the different breaks. And the avinu b'mikra, that was, I mean, they gave an understanding of the mikra. Elu piske tamim. What's piske tamim? If you look at Rashi, it refers to the nigunos kurin tamim, what we call the trup. How to give the trup, the kadma v'azlas, all those different trup. That's what they, how they read it. And Amrila, others say, Elo ha-misoros, shachem v'chazim v'yasim. Others say, I jumped ahead, sorry. Amrila, Elo ha-misoros, what's misores? Says Rashi here, Rashi doesn't say anything, but there's certain psukim that are read a certain way, but written in a different way. So either way, at this public reading, we had they read the psukim, they stopped at the right places, and they had trop, and they had targum. So how come Targum Unklus, who came many centuries after Ezra Nehemiah, he didn't write it. It already existed in the times of Ezra Nehemiah. So the Gemara says, same idea, Shachem v'chazu v'yasim. Really, the Targum goes all the way back to Kabbalah Satorah. When the Torah was given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it along with the Targum. And over the years, they forgot it. So came along Unklus, and he, through his tremendous Ruach HaKodesh, he was able to, in the Masorah he had, he put it back into place. He refound it. He rediscovered. Mar wants to know now, Maishna Daraisa Delo Izazeah, why when Unklus revealed the Targum of the Torah, the world, Eretz Yisrael, didn't shake. However, Adinaviyah, when the Targum of the Nevi'im was revealed, Izdazeah Daraisa, the land did shake. So the Gemara explains, Daraisa, the Torah, is Mefarshe Milsa. It's already explained. It's already not so hard to understand. As opposed to Nevi'im, Ika Mila de Mefarshin, Ika Mila de Mestamin. There are many psukim in Nevi'im which are understood, but there are many that are not, the Mestamin, that are hidden, that are closed, and it was only understood with the Targum, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want those to be revealed. So by the Torah, you could understand the Psukim without the Targum. Targum just adds additional things. But Nevi'im, it was revealing certain secrets. Dichsiv. So what's an example of something that's hidden, hard to understand in the Nevi'im? So this is a pasuk that appears in Zechariah. It says, Bayomahu, on that day, Yigdal, there will be a great mispeh, a great eulogy, in Yerushalayim, kimispeh, like the eulogy of Hadar Damon bibikas Megidon, like what happened to this individual in this certain bika. Now, this individual never died in that place. So there's a steer. This pasuk doesn't make any sense. If you look back in the Nevi'im, in the history, this individual, I'm not sure how to pronounce it exactly, Dadrimon, didn't really die in Bikas Migdon. Makes no sense. So says the Gemara, the Amr of Yosef, Rav Yosef, by the way, we have this in a few places where Rav Yosef brings us the Targum of the Nevi'im. There are a few instances, I think the Masoret HaShas probably quotes this, Gemara Moed Katan and Sanhedrin, I think it also appears in Yuma, where there's a bringing a Pasuk in Nevi'im, and Rav Yosef is the one who's giving the Targum. I'm not sure what the Sheikhas is, but Rav Yosef in a few places, he brings the Targum when it comes to the Nevi'im. Maybe I heard once a reason behind this, but I don't remember the reason. I don't know if there's a reason, but this is what he did a lot. So Rav Yosef comes along and says, Il male targumo de haikra, had we not had the targum of this pasuk in Navi, lo yodana maikamer, we wouldn't know exactly what it's talking about. So what in fact does the targum tell us? So it says, Biyom hahu, on that day, now which day is this referring to? I think Lasid Lavo, the times of Mashiach, right? So okay, I don't have, Rashi doesn't say anything, but I think that's what it's referring to. Biyom hahu, on that day, Yiske means sagi, there'll be a lot, there's going to be enough, a lot, there's going to be a great mispada. Yerushalayim, a great eulogy in Yerushalayim, kimispada da'achav barami, like the eulogy of Acha barami, dekatel yase hadardimon ben tarimon, who killed this individual, v'ramos gilad. That was the first pasuk. That's what it means when you say the words hadardimon. That refers to one eulogy, and then it's also going to be like the eulogy of kimispada diyoshia baramon, who was Yoshia the king. The Katal Yase Paro the Chagir, who was killed by Paro the Chagir, who had a limp, the Bikas Megiddo, which happened in that place. So you're right, Hadrimon was never killed in Bikas Megiddo, is referring to two different events, and the Pasuk just combined them together. So the eulogy in Lasid Lavo was going to be as great as those two eulogies put together. So we see the need for Targum on Nevi'im, and it explains certain things that are hidden. Since we're talking about Nevi'im, the Gemara wanted to talk about Daniel. We said before, why didn't they reveal the Targum on Ksuvim? Because they didn't want Daniel's Targum to be exposed, revealed, because then you're going to find out when the Kates, when Mashiach's going to come. So in light of that, the Gemara wants to make a drasha from the Pasuk as follows. Pasuk in Daniel says, V'ra'isi, ani Daniel. Daniel testifies, I saw, livadi, I saw myself as Hamara, that vision. There's a particular vision that he saw. V'ha'anoshim asher hayu imi, and the people, the men that were with me, lo ro'os hamara, they did not see. However, aval charada gedola nafalem, this tremendous fear fell upon them. V'ivrechu b'hichabe, and they ran away in hiding. They got so scared of something that they didn't even see. So man ninhu anoshim, who were these people who was accompanying Daniel who did not see? So says the Gemara, zeh, so I skipped the line here, great Nevi'im. The last two Nevi'im that we had, they were the ones who were accompanying Daniel. They didn't see the vision, yet they felt this tremendous charada gadola, tremendous amount of fear. So the Gemara explains now, inhu adifa minei, they were better than Daniel. Ve'ihu adif minei, but Daniel was also had something above them. Which way? Inhu they, the three Nevi'im, were greater minayu from... Inu adifaminei, the inu Nevi'im, because they were Nevi'im, v'ihu lav Navi, even though Daniel was a sefer, he was not a Navi, so they were greater than him. But ihu Daniel was adifaminei, Daniel was greater than these Nevi'im, because the ihu chaza, he saw this vision, v'inu lo chaza, they did not see the vision. The Gemara wants to know, if Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi didn't see the vision, so my tama ibaisa. Ibaisa means a number of words, but this context it means fear. Why did they fear? Why did they get scared? Afagav de inu lo chazu, even though they themselves didn't see it, mazlayu chazu, their mazel. Exactly, their sar. Each person has a sar in the Elyonim. The Elyonim saw something going on, and it instilled a certain amount of fear in them, even though they didn't know what was going on. That's why they got scared. So based on this, the Gemara says, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Shema Minab, we learn from here, Hai man de mivis, a person who gets scared, Avagav de ihu lo chazi, even though he didn't see anything, but he just feels a sudden fear from something. He doesn't know where it's coming from. It must be mazla chazi. His mazel above an Elyonim saw something. So Matikanta, what's a guy supposed to do? There's nothing that he's scared of. He doesn't see a lion. He doesn't see a gang. What's he scared of? What's he supposed to do? He doesn't know what he's scared of to even fix it. Matikanta, what's to fix? Likrei Kriya Shema. You're supposed to recite Shema, similar to what the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, before a person goes to sleep. In order to protect himself from any mazikin, you say Shema, it's mavdilin min hamazikin. It protects a person from any evil spirits. So here too also, a person says Shema, it's a form of shmir. V'kaim b'malkum ha'tenufa. So let's say he's standing in a place that's dirty, and you can't say Shema if you're in a dirty alleyway. If you're in a bathroom, you can't say Shema, and he's really, really scared. So what are you supposed to do? Linchof miduchtei arba garmide. He's supposed to jump 4 amos away, and hoping that will solve his problem. V'lo, if that doesn't work, then he should say, Le mahachi, say the following. And this is a line that's used a few places in Shas as well. Ize de betavcha, the goat that's in the slaughterhouse, Shemena minai is fatter than me, go get him and leave me alone. And that's what you're supposed to say to get them away from you. Okay, let's go back to Megillah stuff now. Yesterday we talked about Hashta Damris Medina Medina Vir Leir. Yesterday we spoke about what you learned from the word. There's a difference between two different Medinas. There's a difference between two different cities. But the Pasuk also says Ladrasha, but there's a Pasuk also says Mishpacha Mishpacha L'may Asa. There's a third distinction of the words Mishpacha Mishpacha. What is that coming to teach us? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Lahavi Mishpachos Kehuna Ulevia Shemivalin Avodasan, that the Kohen Levi have to leave the Beis HaMikdash, stop doing the Voda, stop singing, Uban Lishma Mik Megillah, that the mitzvah to listen to the Megillah trumps the Avoda. We put aside the Avoda Beis HaMikdash to listen to Megillah. Dama Rav Yehuda Marav, Kohanim Be'avodasam, Levim B'duchanam, was B'duchanam mean? We usually say the Duchan refers to the Kohanim. But the Duchan and the Levi also stand on a platform. When they sing, there's a platform, a Duchan they stood on. So the Kohen in his Avoda, the Levi in the Duchan, and Yisrael Ba'Mamadam, the Gemara in Tainus, Mishnah Tainus tells us, based on Sugas, when every single Karban has to have the Baal, the owner has to be represented in the Karban. Now if the Karban Talmud is supposed to represent us, who's standing over the Karban? So they had these different Mishmaros and different posts where the Bnei Yisrael would separate and they'd go to the Beis HaMikdash, they'd go to the local shuls, and they would lane different psukim and ma'aseh bereishis, and they'd represent Klal Yisrael in overseeing the Talmud. So too, the Yisrael b'mamadim, it was called a mamid when they represent Klal Yisrael over the Talmud. Kulon. These three groups, Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, would be mevatlin their avoda, uban lishma mikra megillah. So the Megillah trumps Avoda. Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tanya Nami Hachi, the Braisa says the same thing, Kohanim b'avodasam, Levim b'duchanam, V'yusro b'mamadam, Kulon mevalin avodasam, Uban lishma mikra Megillah, exactly what we said. But here the Braisa adds, Mikan samchusha base Rebbe, the base Medjidah Rebbe was reliant on this, Shem mevalin Talmud Torah, they would mevatel the shir that day, Uban lishma mikra Megillah, in order for everyone to stop hearing shir, to go listen to mikra Megillah. How do you know this? It's a kavach omer, me'avoda. Just like ma'avoda, we said they leave the Beis HaMikdash, shi chamura, avoda is more chamur than Talmud Torah, and we say that the mevatlin, the avoda, the Beis HaMikdash, to go hear the Megillah, so Talmud Torah, which is less than avoda, lo kol shekein, certainly they should stop learning in order to hear the Mikra Megillah. So we see right now that the avoda is more chamur than the Torah. So the Gemara challenges at this point. Is it really true that the avoda is chamur mitalmud Torah? Karbanos are greater than Talmud Torah? So, by the way, this happens to be a very interesting machlokas between the Bavli and the Yushalmi. Tell you quickly that, it's a good time, we're making good time right now, that the Gemara tells us that when David HaMelech in the second parak of Shabbos talks about when he's going to die, he's having a discussion with Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, you're going to die in Shabbos. He didn't want to die in Shabbos because it wasn't going to be a hesped. The moment after Shabbos, they need to bury him. So he said, let me die on Sunday. I can't let you die on Sunday because Shlomo HaMelech has to come in. So let me die on Friday. I'll give you a day of my life, and a day of my life in order for me to have a good hesped. He said, I can't do that because your one day of learning is greater than all the karbonos that Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring. So that's a raya that the Torah is greater than the avoda. So the interesting, the Yushalmi says that no, the halacha, the keeping of the mitzvos of David HaMelech is greater than the karbanos. Not the Torah, the Yushalmi says. What do you call a Mishnah in the Yushalmi? Is called a what? Anyone know? Anyone look at the Yushalmi? It's not called a Mishnah like we have in the Bavli. It's called a halacha. Yushalmi is very focused on halacha l'maisa, and the Bavli is very focused on Mishnah, learning, asik b'torah, amelis. So the Bavli thinks Torah is greater than that connection to Shlomo, that David's Torah is greater than Shlomo. The Yushalmi thinks it's David's mitzvos are greater than the karbanos. But there's no raya that Torah is greater than the avoda, according to the Yushalmi. Okay, either way, the Gemara says as follows. Yeah, the avoda is greater than Talmud Torah. Is that really true? Haksiv, the Pasuk says, Vayihi b'yos Yoshua b'Yericho, when Yeshua was in Yericho and they conquered Yericho, Vayisayinav, he lifted his eyes up, Vayar he saw, Vinei isha omer lenegdo, there's a person standing across from him. Vayishachavu, he bowed down to this individual, Heichi Avid Hachi, how could you bow down to a random individual? V'hama Rabbi Shub ben Levi, Aser La'adam, it's forbidden for a person, Sheyitain Shalom L'chaveiro Belaila. You cannot say hello to a person who you don't recognize, Chayshinan Shem Hashedhu, perhaps he's a shade, and we don't give Shalom to a shade. So this random person comes up to Yeshua, how could he bow down and say Shalom to him? So the Gemara says, not such a problem, because Shiny Hasam Damar Le, because the shade said, well not the shade, this person said to him, Ki ani sar tzva Hashem, I'm a tzva of Hashem, I'm a soldier of Hashem. So Dilma Mishakri, maybe he lied, maybe the shade lied. The shade was pretending to be a person, and said, I'm a sar tzva Hashem, I'm a soldier of Hashem. And maybe it really was a shade. So it says the Gemara, Gemiri, there's a certain Masorah that we have, Delo Mafke Shem Shemayim Levatala. Even a shade, whatever shade exactly is, they do not say Shem Hashem Levatala. So he wouldn't lie and say that he was a sar of Hashem if he really wasn't a sar of Hashem. So the fact that this being, this creature said, I'm a sar Hashem, Yeshua was able to believe him, that it was a malach, and therefore he was able to give shalom. Fine, so what was this conversation that they had? Amar lo, so the malach says to Yeshua, Emesh, yesterday, bidaltim, Tamid Shabin Habayim, Yumavata, the Tamid, and Rashi explains because they were fighting. They're fighting at nighttime. You're not supposed to fight at nighttime. They ended up fighting through the night, and they did not bring the Tamid Shabin Habayim. The Mishkan, remember, they didn't have the base of Mikdash just yet, but the Mishkan went into Eretz Yisrael for a number of years. So they had the Mishkan, and they should have brought the Tamid Shabin Habayim, but they didn't. So yesterday, you guys didn't bring the Tamid Shabin Habayim, the evening Tamid. Ve'achshav, now, right now, it was late at night, Bitaltam Tamid Torah, nobody's learning right now. So you did two things wrong. You didn't bring the Talmud yesterday, and you're not learning tonight. So Amar lo, so Yeshua asks him, Al Eza Mehem Basa, which one did you come? Which is the priority? That we missed the Talmud, or that we're not learning right now? So Amar lo, the Malach says to him, Atabatsi, on the now, the aver that's taking place now, that you're not learning right now. So Miyad right away, Vayolam Yeshua Balayla, Hahu Beso Chaimek, he went to sleep in the depth of the night. What does that mean in the depth of the night? Amar of Yochan, Melamri going on to Amar Beis now to teach us, Shalon be'omko shel halacha, that he fell asleep, or not really fell asleep, he delved into the depths of Torah that night. So we see from this that Torah is greater than the avoda. The Malach said, I'm more concerned with the Torah now than the carbon that wasn't brought yesterday. So Torah is greater than the avoda. Earlier we said, avoda is greater than Torah. If avoda is batel for Megillah, then certainly Torah is batel for Megillah. So avoda is greater. But now we're saying that really Torah is greater than the avoda. So which is greater? So comes along Amar Rav Yishmuel bar Aunya, Gadol Tamid Torah Yosef Mekravas Tamid Shenamar Atabasi. So he makes that conclusion based on the pasuk that the Malach came for the Ata, for the now. Torah is in fact greater, not avoda. How do we reconcile this stira? The Gemara says Lokasha is not a problem. Ha de Rabim Ha de Yachid. When it comes to an individual learning Torah, so then avoda is greater than my own individual learning. When it comes to the Rabim learning, so then the Rabim Torah is greater than the avoda. So quickly, just to make a very simple hierarchy, Torah de Rabim is greater, then there's avoda, and the bottom is Torah of a yachid. That's what's concluded from this Gemara. Where it says, wait a second, it's not so clear. The yachid kal, is really true that the yachid is on the bottom, it's really the lowest? The Hatnan, the mission in Mori Katan tells us, Nashim b'moed manos, when it comes to chol hamoed, and there's a funeral, a levaya, so Nashim would be able to manos, they would do this some form of, I don't know what they say in English here, some type of mourning, they'd, a kina, lamenting, they'd say something all together, what does it say? They'd wail all together. Aval, lo metapkos, they wouldn't bang their chest, they wouldn't do that, that was another form of avelus, they would only wail and all together. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Imhayum Smuchos, if you're close, Lemita, to the coffin, Metapkos, they would actually would bang their chests. Berashi Chadashim, Bechanaka, Bepurim, these days, they'd be Ma'anos, they would wail, Umetapkos, Bezebezeb, they would bang their chests on these days. Avalo B'Mekonos, but they wouldn't do Mekonos, which is where one would say one pasuk or one statement, and then everybody else would respond. So there are different levels. And in light of this backdrop, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Barhuna, however, Ein moed b'fnei tamid chacham, kol shekein b'chanako perm. So we say, this whole limitation of what can be done is only talking about a regular person. When it comes to tamid chacham, there is no moed, which means the avelus of the tamid chacham should be like a regular week. Since we're crying so much for the loss of a tamid chacham, you could do the manos, you could do metapchos, you could do mekonos, all the different levels of avelus are permitted for tamid chacham. So why? We conclude from here that the kavod of the Torah of a yachid of the Talmud Chacham is greater than all these other things. We see how powerful it is. So Gemara says, you can't bring me a rye from here how great the Torah of a Yachid is, because here's a different case. It's a Kavod Torah commerce. We're talking about the Kavod HaTorah. Kavod Torah, the Yachid, Chomer, Mitama Torah, the Yachid Kal. Now there are really four levels. The Kavod of the Torah of an individual is greater than his actual Limud HaTorah. When a Talmid Chacham is learning, for the moment, as powerful as every second is that he's learning, it's still on the bottom. But when we're celebrating a Talmid Chacham's life and all the hours that he spent learning, that's not a yachid. That's already a yachid, not a rabbim either, but somewhere in between rabbim and yachid. That's a lot of hours spent learning. So now the hierarchy we have, that at least, is there's Torah of rabbim, there's the Kavod HaTorah of a yachid, and then there's the Torah learning of a yachid. Those are the three levels we have. So somewhere in the middle is that Kavod HaTorah that we give to a Talmid Chacham. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar Rava, Pshitali, it's obvious to me, Avoda Mikmegillah, if you have the option, which one should you go to? Should you go to the Karban or should you go to the Megillah? We already know that Mikmegillah trumps it. Mikmegillah is Adif. How do we know that? From the earlier on the Amud Aleph, Midi Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Then he says, Talmud Torah versus Mikmegillah, which one's greater? Mikmegillah Adif, we learn from the other Daf, the other Amud, Midi Samchusha Beis Rebbe, the fact that Rebbe stopped the Shirum in his Beis Medrash that day, tells us that Megillah is greater than Torah. What about Talmud Torah versus Meis Mitzvah? The guy's learning. He sees a guy drop dead outside and no one's there to bury him. Should I stop my learning to go bury the Meis Mitzvah? Or should I continue to learn? Which one's greater? So he paskins that Meis Mitzvah is odd if I should stop my learning in order to bury the Meis Mitzvah. Why? How does he know this? Mitatanya from the Brisa tells us, Mivatlin Talmud Torah lo tzos Meis. A person has to stop learning in order to do a Levaya. Ulachnasas Kala in order to usher in a Kala to the Chuppah. So we see clearly that a Meis Mitzvah is greater than that of a Talmud Torah. Then the Gemara, then he asks, this is all Rava speaking, Avoda u Meis Mitzvah, which one's greater? I'm a Kohen, I'm doing my Karbanos in the base of Mikdash, I see a guy drop dead, no one's there to bury him. Am I able to stop the Avoda in order to bury the Meis Mitzvah? So here Rava Paskins, I know the answer to this one too, Meis Mitzvah Adif, Meis Mitzvah trumps the Avoda. How do I know this? Mivlachoso, from the Pasuk Lachoso. Now the context of this Pasuk is found in Parshas Naso, by a Nazir, talks about a Nazir. The Nazir is not allowed to, one of the three Isurim that a Nazir can't do is he can't drink wine, he can't cut his hair, and he can't be Metame Meis. So the Pasuk says, I'll read the Pasuk on the side here, it says he can't be metame lo aviv, li'imo, lo achiv, lachoso, lo itama. He can't be metame for his father, his mother, his brother, and his sister. So the obvious question is, why not just say he's not metame meis at all? Why list each individual? Because each individual has a special drasha that we're going to learn. So what's the drasha from v'lachoso? So Rebbe quotes the Braisa, Detanya, Rava quotes the Braisa, Detanya, v'lachoso, matame lo barter. What do we learn from the pasuk lachoso? Haresha yaholech lishchot es ha-pesach, the guy is going to do Karim Pesach, which is an avoda, or he's going to ulam mulas beno, give his son a bris milah, two mitzvahs, the only two mitzvahs I say that have a karais attached to them. Vishama shemeis lameis, he hears that a relative of his dies. So he's going to do the avoda, his close relative dies, so yachol yitame, maybe he should leave aside the karbon and go mimitame and deal with the kavur with the rest of his family. Amris, the pasuk says, lo yitame, he shouldn't become tame. So then the Gemara says, Yachol kashem she'enu metame la'achoso, kachenu metame la'meis mitzvah. One might think, just like he can't be metame to his sister, so too he shouldn't be metame to a meis mitzvah who has nobody to bury him. Tamalomer v'lachoso, the pasuk says an extra word v'lachoso to teach me, la'achoso hu de'enu metame, he's not metame for his sister, he'd rather do the avoda, avam metame la'meis mitzvah, he should push off the karbon pesach, he should push off the karbon in order to do the meis mitzvah. So that's how Rava answers all these questions, and it seems that Meis Mitzvah trumps everything that gets in its way. Then Rava gets to the following question. Boy Rava, what about Mikra Megillah u Meis Mitzvah? The guy has a Mikra Megillah, he's in the middle of Megillah reading, and he sees a guy drop dead outside. Does he have to leave the Megillah reading in order to bury this Meis Mitzvah? Heimenai Adif, which one's greater, Megillah or Mitzvah, or Meis Mitzvah? Do you say that Mikra Megillah is Adif Mishum Pirsumanisa, which is a tremendous, tremendous inyan, publicizing the Nes of Hashem? O Dilma Meis Mitzvah Adif, or perhaps the burying of the dead is greater, Mishum Kavod HaBrios, to leave a person unburied, it's a terrible Kavod HaBrios. So Basa Dabai, after he asked himself this question, Hadar Pashi, he quickly answered, Meis mitzvah adif, that meis mitzvah is greater. How does he know this? Damar mar, the statement that's quoted in the Gemara in Brachos and elsewhere, gadol kavod abriyos shedocha es losa shebetorah. Kavod abriyos is so important that's able to violate an issa deraisa in the Torah. Which issa deraisa? So Rashi says here, just referring to the case of a zaken who's walking along the way, and he sees that there's an aveda. There's a mitzvah hashavas aveda, but it's in a place that's very dirty, or it's a place that he really can't get to, it's below his kavod to do that. But the pasuk says, you can't visalamta, it's also to turn away. If I see an aveda, I can't just look away. There's an issa deraisa. So the Gemara says, the kavod abriyos of that zaken, if his own, confidence, his honor, so he's not able to, his kavod abriyos overrides the issa. He doesn't have to violate the issa, rather he walks along the way. So just like we find that the kavod abriyos of the zaken overrides the issa, so to hear the kavod abriyos of the meis mitzvah will override the mikra megillah. That's what the Gemara concludes. Now, this is a very important concept, by the way, about kavod abriyos docha lo sase. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, on Shabbos, exactly, on Shabbos, if... not sure about that, but I was talking about a case of a person in the bathroom and there's no tissues available, and there's only toilet paper, that since ripping toilet paper, if it's not on the lines, it would only be an iser midirabanam, so then we say the kavod abriyos, you're able to rip the toilet paper, not on the lines. Oh, to take it off, but not to clean it.
I didn't say clean.
Oh, I thought that's what you were getting at. Okay.
Take it off, I think, or something.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay. Fine. The Gemara now says, Gufa. We're quoting a statement that we mentioned yesterday's daf, Amr Bishu ben Levi, Krach v'chol ha-samechlo, the city, and all the cities or suburbs next to it, v'chol ha-nira imo, and any suburbs that appear to be next to it, the lachas nidon kikrach, they all have the same halacha as the city itself. Meaning if the big city is walled, and they're reading the 15th, so the adjacent suburbs and the suburbs that seem like they're part of the city would all read on the 15th as well, even though they themselves individually are not walled. So the Gemara wants to know, and the Gemara rather quotes a brice that adds on, Tana, Samach, if it's next to, Afal Pishayinu Nira, if it's next to, even though it's not appearing like it's next to it, or if it's near, if it appeared next to it, Afal Pishayinu Samach, even though it's not actually next to it. One without the other is enough to read on the 15th with the walled cities. So the Gemara wants to know, Bishma, I could understand the case where to Nira, it appears like it's part of the city, Afal Pishayinu Samach, even though it's not next to it, even though it's very far away. What's an example? Mishkachas la kigon diyosve barosh ahar, if it's sitting on a mountain. So let's say, for example, you're looking straight and you see a nice big city, a walled city in front of you. And then behind it, there's a very big mountain and you see there's a little town, a village on top of that. They look very next to each other. Now, it could be miles away, but they look very next to each other. So that would be, that village on top of the mountain would be included in the big city because it's near it. It looks like it's next to it. But the Gemara has a problem. Ela samach ava pishenu nira hecha mishkachas la. How do I find the case where it's next to it and I don't see it? How could it be possible? If I see the city and there's a village right next to it, how could I not see that village? So the Gemara gives an obvious scenario where it's Amar B'Yirmiya, Shiyosheves B'Nachal, where it's in a valley. So it's below, and when I'm looking straight on the horizon, I can't see the village because it's down below the horizon. That's a case where it's actually physically next to it, even though it doesn't appear like it. That suburb as well would read on the 15th like the larger city that it's next to. Gemara quotes another statement. We're bringing a lot of statements now in the neighbor of Yeshua ben Levi. So there's another statement. There's machlok is what this case is about, whether it's referring to Megillah or something else. So we'll go with Rashi's pshat. I'll tell you what it means in a second. So Amar Yeshua ben Levi, krach sheyashav ulasof hukaf nidon kikvar. A city that was settled and then afterwards it was walled is considered a village, an unwalled city. So even though right now I'm in the city and right now the city has walls in it, it's not viewed as a walled city. Because when I initially settled in this place, it didn't have walls. Later on, they built it. They raised money, and they put up the walls afterwards. In order to be considered a walled city, it has to first be walled, and then settled inside. So which halacha is it referring to? There's a halacha when it comes to the cities, what's called Bati Arichoma. If I have a land in Eretz Yisrael, I have a city, I have a house. I own my property. Each of the Shvatim had their own section where they lived in, they owned. So it was my house, and it's part of my Shevet. Now if I sell it to you, so if I sell a city, or rather a house, in a walled city, I have a year to redeem it back. I didn't have money. I need to be liquid. I liquidated my house. Now I did an investment. I hopefully I got some return. I want to buy back my house. So I have a year to redeem it. If I don't redeem it afterwards, whoever bought it, it's his forever. That halacha only applies to a walled city, a house in a walled city. If it's an unwalled city and I sell my house, I can redeem it until the next Yovel, whenever Yovel comes. But if I don't redeem it by the next Yovel, then I lose it forever. So it's very important to know whether it was a walled city or not a walled city. These halachas are the big nafkaminas. So the Gemara is telling us the definition of a walled city for these halachas is that it has to be walled first and then settled. If it's settled and then afterwards walled, that doesn't qualify as a walled city for these halachas. How do we know this? My time of the Gemara says the first Y line down. The Pasuk says, V'ish ki yimchor beis moshav ir choma. If you have to read this in English to really appreciate it, unless you know Hebrew very well, that a person sells his house in a moshav, in a settlement, that's in an ir choma, that's in a walled city. So when I say I have a house in a walled city, that seems to indicate that the walled city came before my house. I have a house in the walled city. So that's the halacha, that it has to be moshav only after it's been in an ir choma. And that's the drasha the Gemara says. I think Rashi explains this. Right? Rashi just says, if you look around 15 lines up in Rashi, base moshav ir choma, base moshav shel ir choma, a house that's in a walled city, which implies that the walls came before my house. Then the Gemara says, let's say shehukaf, right, the Gemara makes a drasha, shehukaf ulvasof yashav, has to be where it was first surrounded, and only afterwards was it settled. Velo, as opposed to yashav ulvasof hukaf, as opposed to if it was settled, and then only afterwards was it walled. New statement in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Comes on Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Krach Shein Ba'asar Batlanim, a city that does not have 10 Batlanim, Nidon Kikfar. That people enjoy Batlanim here does not mean someone who's Batal from Malach. I'm not Batal doing nothing. He's Batal from Malach, he's sitting and learning. We're calling it 10 people sitting in a kolo. They're called Batlanim because they're Batal from Malacha. Whether this is a derogatory term or not, I don't know, but it's called Asar Batlanim. 10 people who are wasting away, not working, instead they're sitting in a kolo learning. So a krach, a walled city that does not have 10 batlanim, krach, it's nidon kekvar, it's considered a village. So the Gemara wants to know, my kamashman, what's Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi coming to teach us? Tanina, to Mishnah. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi was only an Amora. The Amora will never repeat something that's found in a Mishnah. They knew every single Mishnah that existed. So what's he coming to add on? It's a Tanina, it's a Mishnah later on in Maseches Megillah, which says, Ezehi ir gadola, what's considered a large city? How do you define a big city? Kol sheyesh ba'asar balanim. Any city that has 10 kolo members. Pachos mekan, if it's less than 10, harei ze kfar, that's considered a village. So what's Rabbi Shimon ben Levi coming to teach us? He's coming to teach us that even though it's a krach, it's serech le, afagav de mikle le ma'alma. He's coming to teach us as follows. That, let's say I have a big city. It's New York City, but there's no kolo in New York City. So you would think, there's for sure there would never be a problem of getting a minion around in New York City. There are a ton of people coming in and out of the city. Still, nonetheless, unless it has 10 kolo guys sitting there, it's not considered a big city. That's a necessity to be considered a big city. You have to have 10 kolo guys sitting there learning. Even though it's a massive city where people are coming from all places, that's not enough. So again, let's read that one more time inside. He says, Krach itzerechla, you need to teach me that a big, big city, afagav, even though the mikloi le ma'alma, even though people are coming to visit all the time from elsewhere, it's not considered a krach unless it has 10 batlanim. Let's do four more lines and we'll stop here. The Gemara says, Amar Bishu ben Levi, another statement in his name. We're going to have a lot of these. I think goes on to the next stuff, maybe the whole next stuff as well. Bishu ben Levi says that Krach Shecharov, a city that was destroyed, Ulvasof Yasha, but then it was resettled, Nidam Kekrach is considered a city. So what's going on? What's Rabbi Shimon Levi saying here? Maichar, what does it mean it was destroyed? Elam, if it means Charvu Chomosav, that they were talking about a walled city whose walls were destroyed, Yashav in Lo Yashav Lo. Only if you rebuild the walls is it considered a walled city. But if you don't rebuild the walls, it's not considered a walled city? Is that really true? Now we're going back to the halachas of Bate Arichoma, of the abilities of redeeming your house that you sold in a walled city. You have 1 year to buy it back. We're talking about a walled city. So do you really need a wall right now? V'ha Tani, the Braisa tells us that Rabbi Eliezer Bar Yossi Omer Asher Lo Choma. So the word Asher Lo is spelled in the Pasuk, it's spelled with, I think, only a Vav, but it's understood to be with a Aleph. Right? So the Pasuk says, we're diving the side here, hold on a second. Asher Lo Choma, that has a Choma, Avapi She'ein Lo Achshav V'haya Lo Kol Machin, as long as it once had a wall. So if I have a house in a city that was once walled, if there is no walls right now, it still has the same halacha as walled cities. So what's Rabbi Shimon Levi tell me if it got destroyed, only if I rebuild the wall where those halachas apply? You don't need to rebuild the walls. So that can't be what Rabbi Shimon Levi is talking about. Ella. So what is Rabbi Yeshua Malevi talking about? Ella my charav, shecharav me'asar batlanim. If I have a big city, and the 10 batlanim, we lost the funding for the kolel, and we lost the kolel, so the only way to get that cut to the position back of being considered a big krach is if you get them back, if you're yashav, if you reestablish the asar batlanim. The fact that I once had a kolel here doesn't help. I need an active kolel for it to be considered a krach. Okay, we'll stop here. Shkoyach. Everyone's invited to Moshe Mendelwitz tonight.